This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross right here, White House, Tennessee. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. And Jensen, lots to get to. We're going to talk a lot of World Cup, a lot of baseball this hour as well. Try to sneak in some UFC plays as well. Lou Finocchiaro is going to be joining the program with some of his best bets there too. Okay, hey, US of A, we lost last night. You're waking up today. You didn't stay up late. We understand. We're going to break it down for you. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
To quote Kevin Bacon from Animal House, all is well. I know US of A lost 3-2 to Turkey, yay. But Jensen, can we just tell the people you didn't have to stay up late last night and watch that debacle because it didn't matter, right?
Didn't matter. Turkey, yay. You leave the United States with at least a win and some goals. Congratulations. You're a winner. And thank you for spurring the United States economy during your time here. We get the U.S. healthy all the way through. Christian Pulisic looks like he's going to be fine. You don't have any of the guys with the yellow cards that will be ineligible for the knockout round. So everyone rest up. We know it's going to be Bosnia that Team USA will take on in the knockout stage there in the round of 32. Dave, we have actually four matchups confirmed with results through last night. South Africa, Canada, Netherlands, Morocco, mentioned the U.S. and Bosnia, and then Brazil and Japan. And so we're starting to get this knockout bracket coming into some clarity. I have added some futures that we'll talk about upcoming here in our next segment. But I think we are really well positioned to monetize into the quarterfinal, if not into the semifinal round, with some of the pre-tournament futures we had, some really solid results that set us up quite well once we get into next week.
And if you want any more further proof of why last night was technically meaningless, remember before the match last night, USA was 33-1 to win the World Cup. After the loss, the numbers went down. They're 30-1 this morning. So again, it really did not matter that result last night. I know it would have been nice to go undefeated, but that's not the reality of the situation. Look, I know I'm biased here at VSiN. I think we've done an amazing job covering this World Cup halfway through. To that end, had Eric Winalda on prop points yesterday, and not just talking about Team USA, but also what about that golden boot? Who does he think there might be value on for that MVP, if you will? Let's hear from Eric with the boys at prop points.
You know, Erling Haaland is playing against, you know, France, so that makes it tough. I think he's like plus 800 right now. Balogun was got plus 10,000. It's ridiculous. Like, there's no way you can think that he's going to be a part of that because he's going to be sitting down watching this one today. So I understand that. Harry Kane is not up there. Messi's going to drop off. So it really comes all the way back to Mbappe. Mbappe really looks like the guy that's well poised to win that. I think he was it plus 200 right now. Might be a safe bet. And to be honest, okay, if anybody else is thinking about the final already, all avenues are looking like it's going to be Spain and France in the final. I know that's boring, but that's what everybody's thinking. Unless the U.S. can do something special, which is, of course, what I'm rooting for.
We are too, Eric. Great stuff there with the guys on prop points. And I'll say this too, Jensen, like when we talk about it, and we did it a lot in the Stanley Cup, where you're looking at it in the totality of the postseason here, if you will, in this World Cup in comparison to the NHL. So Eric says, hey, it looks like it's going to be France and Spain. If you could just get France into that final matchup potentially against Spain, I wonder, to his point, Mbappe at 2-1, if the result, obviously you'd love it to be France that wins it, then I feel like you'd confirm that he's going to get the golden boot. To you, does it have to be correlated like that in the NHL, or could it be, hey, Connor McDavid won it a couple years ago, even though Edmonton didn't bring home the cup?
Yeah, so the Golden Boot is just the player that scores the most goals. Doesn't matter about most valuable player, who was the best or anything. It's just about goal scoring. So obviously you're looking at teams that are going to get into that semifinal round, if not the World Cup final. So, of course, that's your correlation there. Why you see Lionel Messi with Argentina, Mbappe at the shortest odds there. I played Erling Haaland before the tournament, right around 15-1 for the Golden Boot. And as it stands, Dave, you're also looking at pathways to the quarterfinals, if not the semifinals. Let's take Messi, for instance. You know, Argentina is a defending champ. Right now, they would take on the second place finisher of Group H. They'll be heavily favored to advance there. And then they'll take on the winner of Australia and the second place finisher of Group G. Barring something completely unforeseen, they should find their way to the quarterfinal. That traditionally is where, in World Cups past, Dave, that's where you see upsets. And so just think alongside, you know, where that could be. One other note for you. If France does defeat Norway today, they'll win Group I. That could potentially set up a round of 16 matchup between they and Germany. And I'll tell you right now, I really like where I'm at 14-1 wise with Germany. If nothing more than to look at a potential upset there. Now, again, Germany's going to be a dog in that matchup. But again, you're looking at an arduous path potentially for France. The other side of that is if they get to the quarterfinal, you know, then you're looking through on maybe a Netherlands or a Morocco that could derail them in the round of 16. Maybe it doesn't get there, but still that path for France, a little bit more arduous. I would say that if you're looking for a team and maybe a longer shot, Vinicius Jr. there for Brazil would be one where you're looking at them. They play Japan in their first round knockout matchup. Then they play the winner of Ivory Coast and the second place finisher in Group I. Again, you're looking more towards an opportunity for teams to get to the round of 16, the quarterfinals. That's where your correlated play should be if you're getting into the Golden Boot market just now.
I'll tell you this. I like that, though, that there's no gray area, right? Just you have the most goals, you win the award. Ooh, I like that. That's an award market I could actually look at because I would not want to get into the heads of voters like we have to do in all the other sports out there in the world. We talked a little bit about this, and I'm always concerned here when you look at Major League Baseball. At least they're talking, which is good, the two sides. But maybe the talk is not signifying a whole lot. All right, dare we say that a lockout is confirmed after the latest negotiation yesterday, Jensen?
I just, again, it not much has changed from a standpoint of when you use the words salary cap, it's a non-starter with the union. I don't know how much the ownership side has to get beaten over the head with it. This latest iteration for people that just kind of want a Cliff Notes version, I can appreciate from the player side, they wanted to up the minimum salary to $1 million for pre-arbitration players who accrue a full year of service or already have 2+ years of service. That's all fine and dandy. But again, Dave, with a cap, they're trying to cap not only earnings potential, but length of guaranteed contracts. This latest iteration talks about a maximum of 5-year deals for free agency. So you can't, and the irony of this all is that owners approve giving out these 10, 12, 13-year contracts right in the past. Like, they have to sign. Dave, it's there in ink. The owners have signed off on these gargantuan deals. So look in the mirror. The other part of it, too, is you're capping earnings for your employees here, if you will, but hey, you can go on into many decades of ownership and still maximize your costs. Bottom line, Dave, this is a non-starter. Again, we are headed for a lockout. I've said that before. Nothing changes my thought on that. They're trying, the owner side, to get a mix of the NBA kind of rules, a little NHL into it, a lot of the NFL with some of the rev share ideas here. So the gap is exceptionally wide, and it may have widened with the language and the terminology that they put in there. So I think we're even farther away than what we were in the previous proposals.
Not the update that we're looking for here, people. So we're hoping for baseball next year, but that is not, if you're reading between the tea leaves, a very good starter. It's a non-starter, according to Jensen, after what we had yesterday. Look, I was in Chicago when the Bulls drafted Coby White. They liked him. Didn't exactly work out. Traded him to Charlotte. And now, with Charlotte moving on from LaMelo Ball in the deal yesterday, they're going to make Coby White the guy. So 3 years, $74 million. I know a lot of people at the network like this basketball team. He's going to be the guy now to be the starting point guard here, Jensen. What do we make of this here in a new role and, yeah, some new money here for Coby?
Again, just one of those stopgap things. No big deal. 3 years, $74 million. I think relatively inexpensive considering what the backcourt market might look like here in the foreseeable future. Anxious more so to see. We still have big dominoes to fall, right? Will Jaylen Brown be in a Celtics uniform? I think after that answer is given, then we have a little bit more clarity for front offices to maneuver. Because again, that's a major piece. And if it happens for a deal in the Eastern Conference, that changes a lot there too. So I think you'll see some franchises be in wait and see mode as far as handing out some larger contracts or making some of those bigger moves until there is clarity on the Jaylen Brown front.
If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, if you're watching on YouTube TV, a great headline here from Joe Frieza, our esteemed producer, Cole World. Because Eric Cole, it was a Cole World if he had first round leader tickets and they weren't on EC, because Eric Cole 7 under par yesterday. Outright, no share either. Scottie Scheffler got close at 6 under par here, but it's Eric Cole that's going to begin the last Elevate event on the PGA Tour here, Jensen, in the lead today. I did add Ludvig Åberg top 10 live after round one yesterday at 5-1. What do you make? I think you and I are positioned pretty well going into round two.
We certainly are. Again, Scottie Scheffler, a top five placement market for me. One off the pace here with a handful of guys tied at 6 under. Russell Henley, I know a guy you're on, looked very strong yesterday. I think we're going to want a little bit more out of Justin Thomas, Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood's front nine versus the back nine, a way different outing there. 5 birdies to close his day after a 2-over front nine. So that's great news there. 8:45 is tee time. Dave, Alex Noren, Alex Smalley, the Alex brothers will get rocking and rolling here as we round number two will get underway from TPC River Highlands.
Yeah, I can't wait. We'll update that as time allows, as this show goes. But again, follow us on social media as well. We'll give some of those round props out there once we see how the course is playing in round number two. When we come back, let's talk all things soccer here. And I know you've got some added plays as well in the World Cup, the Daily Docket. It's up next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Circus football contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, win a Circle Proxy is going to handle everything else. Your weekly submissions, you don't have to worry about them. You can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, that's all it takes. Play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. Already made my pilgrimage out there. You can do so as well and get signed up for either Millions, Grandissimo, or Survivor, or play all three. I'm going to be in two, Millions with Jensen, and Survivor with my guy John Chu. So we're excited for year number two in said contest. By the way, I mentioned I'll be taking a look at, once we get done with the program, how round two is playing out there at the Travelers. We do have some significant information to pass along from the PGA Tour. Due to heavy rain, the start of the second round of the Travelers will be delayed 30 minutes for golf course preparation. And Jensen, one thing we should look at here before you get in some of those golf props for the day, normally there is a situation where lift clean in place could be in play as a big advantage to the player. So if that is the rule, we don't know if that's what it's going to be. But when you get heavy rain on the golf course, that's normally the rule that's implemented there. So while the golf ball might not go as far, they're going to have a lot more control on those greens. Normally leads to better scoring. So again, without eyes on it right now, that's normally the way that I would look. So my trend would be to the under in golf props here across the board. And again, sometimes the books will be Johnny on the spot, but that is news from the PGA Tour. Jensen, let's get to the World Cup here. I know you've added to your portfolio today, And that's where we're going to be in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
A lot of matches out there, Jensen, here on a Friday, kicking off at 3 p.m. with Norway against France. That'll be in Boston at Gillette Stadium there. Senegal against Iraq will be in Toronto at the same time. Do you have any today matches that you've added to the card and or some future plays?
Just we'll have an eye on the Uruguay and Spain match in Guadalajara later on at 8 o'clock tonight. Why is that significant? Well, as we look at the Group H standings, basically a draw for Spain not only will put them in to the knockout round, but can ultimately take care of winning the group. You're looking at the head-to-head with Uruguay there, and basically they need a win to overcome where Spain would be to win the group, but more so to try and hold off Cape Verde, who will take on Saudi Arabia. Both Uruguay and Cape Verde are tied in goal differential by virtue of both their matches ending in draws. If we throw up the futures that I have here, Dave, I've diversified a little bit here. And here's how I did it pre-tournament. I did a full unit play, and these are all World Cup winning futures here. So this is to win the World Cup. Before the tournament started, Dave, I put a full unit on Portugal at plus 850, Germany at 14-1. I also put a half unit on Norway at 30-1, and then quarter unit plays on Morocco at 60-1 and Uruguay at a little over 82-1. I added yesterday and earlier a couple of weeks ago, actually I would say a week ago, a quarter unit play on the United States at 35-1 after they won that second match. And then yesterday I jumped in with three additional wagers to really maximize our knockout bracket coverage. A three-quarter unit play on Brazil at 12-1, three-quarter unit play on Netherlands at 14-1, and then Mexico, a half unit play at 50-1. Well, why is that significant? Dave, all those teams outside of Uruguay have qualified for the knockout round. And as I mentioned to you, we'll have a keen eye on that Spain and Uruguay matchup later on tonight. If Uruguay can find their way through, I don't know why I just keep loving saying Uruguay, then we are in a really good spot. A really good spot here. Here's what I like. Mentioned Germany at 14-1. They potentially will match up against France in the round of 32. So we'll kind of see what happens in their first round matchups here and who ultimately they will both draw a third place finisher. So they'll both be heavy favorites to advance. Netherlands will match up against Morocco. So I'm going to lose one of those futures, either the 14-1 or 60-1 will move on. Why I like where we're positioned there, they will be a favorite likely against the winner of South Africa and Canada. That's who they're matched up with right now in the round of 32. Get that one into the round of 16, and I would imagine that is going to be headlined against either France or Germany. I'm hoping it's Germany, because then that automatically means we have a future through to the quarterfinal. As we move further down, and let's bring in the United States at 35-1. We know they're going to play Bosnia in that first round, and moving on to the round of 32, they, in all likelihood, will take on the winner of Group G. And as it stands right now, that looks like it's going to be Egypt, barring something unforeseen. If it's Iran, either way, we've already shown off the pitch we can beat Iran. We can do it again on the pitch. So I like where our matchup is there as well. When we get to Mexico, here's the intriguing part for me with Mexico. It's basically home matches for them in the knockout round, at least the first couple of rounds. And I really, really like where they're positioned. They're going to take on a third place finisher. And then I think their next game would be against the winner of probably England and or Ghana, at least whoever ends up winning the Group L, who would be the group winner there, will be heavily favored against the third place finisher that they'll take on. So we have really tried to maximize very much so how we did March Madness, where we can have futures meet as early as the round of 16, if not the quarterfinals, and that would automatically get us through, regardless of result, for the next round. So that's how we've allocated. I don't think I'm adding anything else with where we are, and we'll kind of let these successive knockout stages complete themselves and then reevaluate probably when we get to the round of 16.
You're well positioned. So again, your eye's going to be on that 8 p.m. matchup here, Eastern time, Uruguay. I can't say it as well as you do, against Spain down there in Guadalajara. So that will be later on tonight that Jensen will be focusing his attention on. I wanted to bring this to your attention too, Jensen, because I know we've talked a lot about in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, the changes coming to the PGA Tour, and they're going to be vast changes, right? So this is the last elevated event going on at the Travelers this year. Conspicuous by his absence is Rory McIlroy, who decided to skip yet another elevated event. When these were put in a couple of years ago, kind of to contrast what LIV Golf was doing, this was kind of at the behest of a guy like Rory McIlroy, get the best players in the world and get the most money. And then he doesn't show up for these things. And I know a lot of people have been saying, well, where's Rory? What's he doing? Why is he doing this? Didn't he push for all this stuff and then doesn't even show up? Well, he's gone about it completely differently in not showing up at the Travelers this week. Scottie Scheffler still obviously the betting favorite to get it done this week. Rory would have been the second choice. So where is Rory? Well, we've got the last major coming up in about, 3 weeks here over there at Royal Birkdale in England. And guess who ran into him? A Hall of Famer and a major champion in his own right in Nick Faldo. Take a look at this exchange.
3 weeks to go, and you never know who you might bump into.
What are you going to do in 3 weeks to go?
So a bit of practice. It's good to get up here and play early. I've been trying to do that at every major championship, which has been working out for me. I'm going to play the Scottish Open the week before.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So that'll be nice. Just to get a few reps in, get a card in my hand, do all that. So, but try to play a bit of links golf, try to get used to these conditions
Jensen, what I find interesting about that is, one, it's just cool to see Faldo's out there doing some work for Sky Sports, and boom, he runs into Rory. But I think a lot of people think, oh, Rory's just skipping the event. Well, he's been doing this now at majors, like he did at Augusta, where he skipped some events and went up there and practiced for weeks ahead of time. Rory's 7-1 right now in the betting market to win at Birkdale. I got to tell you, for all the flack that he's getting, and you know, maybe I gave a little bit of it too for not showing up for some of these events, it kind of makes sense. And I think the new schedule, the way he's doing his own schedule as a made man, it's working out. I wouldn't be mad at you if you see what he's doing and why he's not in Hartford, and he's already in the golf course there. It does feel like he's getting the jump ahead of the rest of the guys here, Jensen.
All right, I'm going to try and do this in my best Irish Rory McIlroy impression. Dave, this is going to be the round that I feel good about. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I think you're spot on. I think he does not care anymore about any of these so-called elevated events or anything else stateside, especially where we are in the calendar. This is exactly where I thought process-wise, where he basically lived in Augusta for 3 or 4 weeks straight, got every nook and cranny, understood every role. He's going to do the same thing, playing all kinds of different weather events there for the several weeks leading up to the Open. That's exactly what it. Now all I got to do, Dave, is find a cross-sport parlay to put Rory in so we get him up to double-digit odds. That's all I got to do.
I think I'm with you. I wasn't thinking I'm going to bet Rory at Birkdale. Now when I see stuff like that and I know what the guy's doing, yeah, it makes more sense. Chris Meaney is going to join the program next. Always love talking NHL with Chris. And I wonder, Gavin McKenna, is he a lock to go number one to Toronto tonight? And should there be a bet made there? We'll discuss next right here. Beeson by the Books.
And by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning, talking a lot of World Cup, got some UFC we're going to dive into, of course, baseball. But Jensen, how about the NHL? It's a big night on ice here for the kids that are going to be pros. I know we're talking about the NBA draft a lot at the beginning of this week, but it's a big night in the NHL. Chris Meaney, kind enough to join us, writer, editor at NHL.com, to join us once again, the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Chris Meaney. And it is a big night, certainly for Toronto, holding that number one pick. And I think we all assume it's going to be Gavin McKenna. But Chris, for a team that, are they starved for entertainment up there and for a winner? It's been a long, long time. We just saw the Knicks break their curse in the NBA, first time since '73. Can tonight go a long way in helping Toronto try to do it in hockey what the Knicks did in basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. And happy Friday, guys. I always love joining you. You know, it's a start. It's been a minute since the Maple Leafs have made some noise in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 1967. And, you know, last year didn't go well for them. And a team that, you know, consistently made the playoffs leading up to last year when they lost Mitch Marner in the offseason. They're going to get, I think, their Mitch Marner replacement here. And, you know, I don't want to put too much, you know, onto the kid here in Gavin McKenna. We haven't seen a play in the NHL yet, but he's a terrific playmaker. He was tied for fifth in the NCAA in college hockey in terms of points for Penn State last year, and a terrific, you know, playmaker again. And, you know, he had 51 points and, you know, a lot of those were assists. And, you know, he was great in the World Juniors for Team Canada. I believe he came second in points there too. And he was playing on a line with Michael Hage, and those two had some chemistry. And, you know, there was a lot of nice primary assists from Gavin McKenna. So I expect him to make a immediate impact right away. If Maple Leafs do take him at one, you know, I would say he's inside their top six, playing alongside Austin Matthews. New management in Toronto, so there could be a few more shakeups with this team. They've made a couple trades already. Chake is not afraid to make some noise. I know he's very analytical driven. So we could see him make a couple moves here in the offseason, but it's a big offseason for Toronto. You know, Austin Matthews has a couple years left in his deal. The roster is getting a little bit older. There's some question marks in goal. So it's not just Gavin McKenna to the Leafs all of a sudden, you know, shoot up the odds boards. We expect this team to be a Stanley Cup contender. I do expect them to be one of the teams that does bounce back this year, guys, and most likely makes the playoffs. But it's a very tough Atlantic division. And we've seen over the past week, there's been a lot of teams making some noise here in the NHL. But this is certainly a start and a nice gift for them, because I don't think they were as bad as, you know, their record showed last year. Again, I think they'll bounce back this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree. He's got a long way to go to become Ernie Clement, the top vote getter for the All-Star game as a Toronto Blue Jay. I say that tongue in cheek. But to kind of follow up on McKenna, you mentioned, I think it's important for people that want to kind of lock in maybe some early player props here for the upcoming season. You mentioned in the top six, as far as the attack goes and playing potentially on the same line as Austin Matthews. What's a good floor? I'm looking at some of these point prices as far as specials for Gavin McKenna for the upcoming season. Because of where he could be slotted in, is it a reach to go for a plus money price for 60 plus points at plus $1.40? I mean, it feels like the opportunities would be there. And especially, Chris, if you think he's in that Mitch Marner mold, does that entice you maybe from a season-long prop perspective?
Yeah, I like the points. I would probably stay away from the goals. It's not that I don't think he can score, but he is, in my opinion, a pass first guy. I mean, he's already talked about that. He likes to look for players. He says he comes with a lot of confidence too. I know. I love the way he kind of carries himself and talking about how he can find a guy like Austin Matthews in open space. And we know that Matthews is a guy that scored 60 twice in the NHL. So I see the 60 points there, plus 140. Again, I expect him to play alongside Austin Matthews up on that top line. They could put Matthew Nyes there. They can put him on the second line if they want with John Tavares, who's an experienced player who can still rip it as well. And I do expect him to be on that first power play, right? Because of his playmaking ability. And it is a good power play when you think about William Nylander with Matthews, with John Tavares, with Gavin McKenna. They picked up Darren Radish, who scored 20 plus goals last year as a defenseman, the hardest shot in the NHL last year. He could just rip it from the point. So they got a good thing going there if it is Gavin. So I do think, you know, you could maybe go plus 140 there at the 60 points. 70 is a stretch, but certainly, you know, you could maybe ladder something up that way. But I would lean with the points over the goals because, again, he's a pass first guy, and he's going to, it's not like most first overall picks are going to a scenario where the team doesn't really have a whole lot, right? Like, it's like the Leafs do have some nice established, at least players inside their top six.
So, Chris, you know, we do a segment here in the program called Chaos Candidates, and Jensen and I are always looking for chaos in the betting markets and or just in sports in general. And we didn't get any in the NBA draft, right? And we're like, man, this draft really didn't start till almost 9. So if McKenna's going to go number one, the odds board is telling us that that's the way it's going to be. Is there drama at 2? Is there potential chaos here after we get through the number one pick?
Potentially. I know Stenberg has really moved here. You see the odds there, minus 900 you're showing me. And, You know, before the William Eklund trade, I think it was pretty close between him and Chase Reed. And, you know, Reed is a guy that I wouldn't be shocked if he went too. I mean, to get a defenseman, a right shot defenseman, you know, he's a really good player. And I look at San Jose overall, and I'm sure it's going to be hard for them to pass on Stenberg, who's a, you know, you could make a case for him at number one, to be honest with you. He's a really nice hockey player. But I look at San Jose and some of their needs. I think their back end, especially, they're in their blue line. But they also have pick nine, right? They traded William Eklund to the Senators and got pick nine. So they could go Stenberg at two and then get a defenseman that they like, whether it's Verhoeve, Rudolph at nine. So I do feel like Stenberg will be the play. But guys, if you are looking for chaos and, you know, after one, sometimes, you know, these things do happen. It's possible that it could be Reed, and there's really good odds there. So I'm intrigued what the Sharks are going to do with pick two and nine. Buffalo got into the conversation with pick four. I think there's a little bit of value there on Caleb Malhotra with his dad, Manny, now the coach of Vancouver. They're picking at three, so it'd be really tough for them, I think, to pass on Caleb at three. And then, you know, what a gift for the Sabres there, who got back into the draft and tied the top five with that Bowen Byram deal with Chicago. I would expect them to just scoop up Chase Reed if he's there at four.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of other teams that have multiple selections in the top 16, holy crap, St. Louis Blues. Once we get to number 11 and then, of course, getting 15 and 16 from the Red Wings and the Caps. As we get towards the middle portions there, for people that maybe are not initiated so much here, Chris, on how the volatility or maybe the lack thereof there could be, do you anticipate any trading up, down, or do we feel we're slotted here pretty well? And with where the big boards are at, those teams with multiple picks probably going to stick and pick, or maybe some teams maybe trying to jump up with some other talent left on the board?
Yeah, you know, I think once we get past 20, when you see, you know, the Sabres are there again at 20, maybe the Bruins and the Canadiens at 28, they've been aggressive over the past couple of years. They flipped two first round picks last year for Noah Dobson. They need a second line center. They're, you know, reportedly looking for a left winger on that second line to play with Ivan Demidov. So they're a team that I think could get aggressive and maybe move up the draft, or maybe just flip some of those picks for, you know, again, you know, somebody inside their top six. But the Blues are really, really intriguing, because I know things didn't go well for them last year, but they were one of the best teams in the NHL in the second half 2 years ago after the Four Nations face-off. They made the playoffs. They took the Jets to seven. And, you know, to have 11, 15, and 16, pretty cool to, you know, to go back-to-back. I think they probably keep those picks, but wouldn't be shocked at all, Jensen, if they packaged maybe two of those picks to move up or just get a player, get a ready-to-win-now guy. They traded Jordan Kyra away. I don't think that they're just rebuilding. They have a very strong top line with Snuggerud and Holloway and Robert Thomas. They got a nice young goalie in Hofer. They could flip Jordan Binnington. The Florida Panthers being extremely busy, we don't know who their goalie is. In fact, they don't have one under contract ready to play in the NHL. So this is a team that could make a move as well. So we could see the Blues. It wouldn't shock me if the Blues were very busy. Just given all of those picks, certainly could use them all, but they could maybe package a couple of them. Maybe Bennington's involved and they get themselves a really nice player inside the top six. It's been just a crazy week, guys, in the NHL. I expect a couple trades here tonight.
Oh, I love it. Let's get some chaos here. Enjoying our conversation with Chris Meany, NHL.com. And Chris, I'm going to show my age a little bit, but I was in D.C. covering that draft when the Caps drafted Alexander Ovechkin back in 2004, and we couldn't wait to see what the Grade 8 was going to be, and then we've all seen what he has become. You've seen it in Connor McDavid in Edmonton, the prodigy, and boy, has he lived up to every bit of the hype. So for a guy now going number one tonight in McKenna, is he that type of number one overall pick? Are those expectations too high?
I think they're slightly high. You know, I project him as a player who's going to be well over a point per game. I think he could, you know, live in that 80 to 90 point mark. It is tough. I just think that what you saw in Ovechkin, and, you know, it's, I remember at that time as well, like, this was a prolific goal scorer, and certainly, you know, he exceeded expectations. I don't know if we want to put that on the kid in Gavin McKenna, but again, he's going to be a guy that I think could be, you know, a 60 assist guy in the NHL. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. He does profile as a top line winger and eventually move over to center at some point, I think maybe in his NHL career.
my hair looked different back then, and so did Ovi's, that's for sure, back in 2004. Chris, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you every time you hop on with us and educate us a little bit about what might happen tonight at the NHL draft. Give him a follow on X at Chris Meady. We're back talking all things up. We got some UFC picks coming up later on in the show. From Lou Finicaro on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now. Hot off the presses, so if you're betting those futures markets, win totals, divisional races, MVP, the Roy, or the Super Bowl odds themselves, our guide is going to get you ready before training camps even begin. Breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, futures, power ratings, so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175, and the earlier that you sign up, as in today, you're going to get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl, which is next February. So that's daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Chris Meany in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen if you want to get down to some NFL features as well. We are excited for the NFL here as a network, certainly as a show, Jensen, and we're continuing our countdown already to Canton, Ohio. Broke down the Patriots earlier in the program and the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. Look, some of those futures that are out there that I've been shopping around for to find some good value on, I think I found another one. And I know people, when you see this, you're going to go, well, of course you like Super Dak Prescott, Jensen Lewis. Yeah, I do. And if you go back to our futures draft that we had as a network last year, I picked him at about 10-1 to lead the league in passing. Jensen, he's going to lead the league in passing if they don't bench him in the last game of the regular season, which is meaningless against the Giants, and that falls short. So I don't win the contest outright last year, but we scooped some nice profit, nice ROI last year overall in that futures draft. So I'm going back to the well. And it's going to be the same analysis, Jensen, that I gave you this time last year. And that is Dak Prescott. And I found this, by the way, at Bet365. So you can bet this today. Over 3,999 yards and a half in a hook. Can he get 4,000 passing yards here? Okay, we'll do the math over 17 games. He absolutely can. And I believe he absolutely will at minus $1.10, I think is a very fair price point. And the rationale, Jensen, is quite simple. And I gave it last year. Remember, I did not have team totals to bet on last year for the Cowboys before the year. And I said the way I would play it is Dak to potentially lead the league in passing, which he came oh so close to doing. Because last year, if they're going to be good, Dak's going to be great, and he's going to easily exceed this number. And if they're going to be bad, Dak's going to be great, and he's going to easily exceed the number of 4,000 yards. And it's exactly what happened. It was independent of what the rest of the team would look like. It was independent of the defense. And this year, that defense is going to be better. Does Dak have to do more this year? Not necessarily. He just has to be himself. And just, I was thinking about this yesterday when I saw this price point. I mean, if you go back a decade plus now, when Dak came in as a fourth round pick out of Mississippi State, and they had some guy named Tony Romo playing the position, they drafted this quarterback, Kellen Moore, on the roster as well out of Boise State. And you look at that quarterback room and you go, well, who's this guy? And then Romo goes down in preseason and they got to play him, and Kellen Moore gets injured as well. And Kellen Moore becomes a de facto, as a rookie, as a pseudo coach to Dak Prescott. Look at the career paths that have happened, right? Kellen Moore, now the head coach down there with the Saints, and was never really the same guy coming out of college anymore. And it became Dak's job almost by default. That offense over a decade ago, under Jason Garrett, by the way, looks tremendously different than it does now. He has evolved through multiple head coaches, had great success under Big Mike. Who did Big Mike have on the staff? Brian Schottenheimer, who becomes the new guy once Mike McCarthy leaves. And now it looks great under Brian Schottenheimer. He's got weapons. We know about the CeeDee Lambs, and we know about the George Pickens. Javonte Williams has really helped out the run game. The offensive line is really good. You got Ferguson, a tight end. He's got weapons and things built around him. But Jensen, those names have changed through the years and now over a decade. And the constant has been Super Dak Prescott. It's been Dakota Prescott. And there's no reason to back off this prop now. The only thing that stops this is injury. Because if he plays and he starts 17 weeks, he's going to go over that total and get into the 4,000s again. I think he'll be right there. This is a made man at the quarterback position. Not because I say so, because he's proven it through a decade plus now, Jensen, in the NFL. He's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. I know elite sometimes triggers people one way or the other. The proof's in the pudding. Look at the numbers. They are elite. He is elite. And as long as they keep him upright, I think Dakota Prescott's going to easily excel and get over that number of 4,000 passing yards again this year.
Fantastic. You know that I love a little bit of a parlay option when we get to some of the season-long outlook for the NFL. Let's go back to a couple of tried and trues. Let's go back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's go back to the Philadelphia Eagles. To make the playoffs for both these teams, yes, a Super Bowl matchup from just a handful of years ago, plus $1.28, sign me up. Obviously, you've got a motivated Mahomes coming off the injury. The golf swing looks great. I think he's ahead of schedule. Even if I have to have Justin Fields for a game, I feel like I'm okay. The schedule actually really breaks well for Kansas City. They are, at least by our VSiN NFL betting guide, 24th toughest of 32. So basically the eighth easiest schedule on the NFL docket this year. Of course, a huge divisional matchup with Denver at home to begin the year. And then they're home again against the Indianapolis Colts. Who's going to play quarterback? Does it matter? Probably not. Then you go to Miami, and then you go to Vegas, and then you come back home against the LA Chargers. Not bad, right? Well, then we get into it a little bit with two tough road tests at Seattle and then at Denver. You're done with the Broncos, Dave. Halfway through the season, you're done. And then you don't see the Chargers again until January of 2027. And then finally, the Raiders at home. And who knows if that game will need to mean anything for the Chiefs, whether it be in the division or if they've already secured a playoff spot. So I think where Andy Reid and company are with Patrick Mahomes and company, if this is indeed the last dance for Travis Kelce, then I think they will empty the tank to try and have one last ride with the old crew. Rinse and repeat. I know it's a team you love to hate, Dave, and I can appreciate it. But bottom line is, I mean, barring something injury-wise, how do the Philadelphia Eagles, now with some of the drama removed, not find their way back to the playoffs? I don't necessarily need them to win the division, although I did pick them to. The schedule lines up really well on paper. They have the second easiest schedule in football, second or third easiest schedule in football, at least by opponents' win percentage. Nice NFC East divisional matchup out of the chute at home against the Washington Commanders. Then on the road for probably a tough test in Tennessee, albeit they should be able to win that game. And then in Chicago, and we'll see what the Bears look like this year. Back home against the Rams. So then you're like, whoa, you talk about an easy schedule here. Hang on, we'll get there. It kind of gets a little easier from a home standpoint where you get into the middle of this schedule. Dave, they will be home or not travel another time zone from the time that they are there October 4th against the Rams. And then obviously with what they have against Jacksonville with the international contest, you get home from that. Then you're home against Carolina from October 18th. In Dallas, you're in the Eastern time zone in Washington on November 1st, then back home against the Giants, home against the Steelers, obviously the Big D there on Thanksgiving. So you've got a nice, real easy timeline as far as the body clock, being able to rest and recovery. So barring something unforeseen, Dave, I think both Philly and Kansas City are destined for at least 10 wins, maybe more, depending on what they look like. That was easy enough for me to get to a playoff parlay at plus $1.28 of the Chiefs and the Eagles to go back to playing playoff football.
Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis. One of my favorite movies growing up was Trading Places, and with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. And I would say this, if you go back, you mentioned the Rams game with the Eagles last year, Trading Places. If we don't get one of the worst beats, at least ATS last year, with the blocked field goal that's returned for a touchdown, somehow the Rams not only don't win the game, they don't cover that number. Think about that in the context, Jensen. If the Rams win that game, they're probably going to have home field advantage, and maybe it's so not true. Seattle that we're talking about today as the reigning defendings. That game this year, again, week four, is going to be massive early in the year. And as much flack as I want to give a guy like Nick Sirianni, I think you got to give him his flowers too, because he's had a lot of changing of the guard now at offensive coordinator and seems to figure it out. I know he's a lightning rod. I know he's a punching bag there in Philadelphia. And I know sometimes they can't wait to run that guy out of town. I kind of hope they do run him out of town, because I think he could do far worse than Nick Sirianni in the body of work he's put in Philadelphia. So yeah, as much as it pains me to say, Jensen, I'm picking up what you're putting down. You got to respect what the man is actually accomplished. Okay, when we come back, the man accomplishes a lot right here in the program. It's Lou Finocchiaro. He's got some UFC picks for UFC Baku. We'll discuss that all next, coming up here on VSiN by the Books.